we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. You're listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on behalf of Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and today is our vintage service at 11 o'clock in the morning. If you'd care to join us, we're going to be singing some hymns and old hymns and some older choruses. I'm going to be preaching the word. We'll be out of Isaiah again this morning. And so we would love to have you join us. If you like a more traditional service, this service is geared specifically for you. And so that will be at 11 o'clock this morning. We encourage you to come out and join us as we touch the throne of God. We also want to give a shout out to our one of our businesses that's represented in our church, Creative Air Conditioning Solutions, 759-3284. If you're here in the central Brevard County area, Bill Andriac can help you out. 759-3284. If you give him a call, tell him you heard about him here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So we pray that you are having a great week, and we are here today where we are celebrating what God has done just a few days since Resurrection Sunday. And so we have been talking this week about forgiveness, that God wants to quicken our mortal bodies, that the resurrection is not just a historical event. It is just not a theological event or something that has spiritual ramifications, but the resurrection actually has effect on my body. You know, that I look forward to the resurrection. I look forward of my body. I look forward to the quickening of my body, the healing of my body, operating in supernatural strength. And then on Tuesday's broadcast, we were talking about out of Mark chapter 6, verse number 19, how they nursed a grudge. They nursed a grudge. And, you know, the key thing about that is when you hold on to something like that, it sucks the life out of you. And, all of us want to enjoy life. We don't want to go around lifeless and lethargic and just barely existing. So we've been talking about forgiveness. Today, I want to take you back into the Old Testament. We're actually going to spend a few broadcasts here. I don't know exactly how many it will take, but we're going to talk about forgiveness and God dealing with people in the Old Testament. There is a misconception out there that the God of the Old Testament is this really angry, vengeful God who's just looking to destroy people. And I want you to know that God is always the same. He has always been a forgiving God. From Genesis to Revelation, he has been moving towards the age of grace and forgiveness that we live in at this point in time. That doesn't mean that there are no standards. There are standards. In fact, every time God increases the revelation, the focal point, it becomes more fixed. There were times when there were multiple marriages, but by the time he gets to the New Testament, he's saying, look, what I'm looking for is one man and one woman, one husband, one wife. That is the picture of marriage that I have in heaven. You say, well, how come there were so many different definitions? Well, you know, there were different cultures, and God starts with us where we are, and then he moves us to the place that he would have us to be. He moves us to the place of holiness. He moves us to that place where we align with his perfect will. He always started by showing a shadow or a template of the things to come. And, you know, if you take a picture, or, you know, if you ever see a drawing of what the tabernacle looked like in the Old Testament, you know, where Moses was coming out of Egypt and taking them to the Promised Land, that was nothing to look at. By the time you get to Solomon's temple, it's a glorious temple. By the time you get to the to Herod's temple where Jesus was, it was much larger. It took 43 years to build. And then you come to the book of Acts and you find that the temple of the Holy Spirit is your body and my body. It's the church. And then when we get to heaven, you see the full manifestation of what the temple of God looks like. And so today I want to take you to Ezekiel chapter 25, Ezekiel the 25th chapter. And I'm just going to read about three verses today. And it says, "Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred, therefore says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, I will cut off the Kerethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them." So what I want to talk to you about here, first of all, is what it says there in verse number 15. It says that they had sought to destroy because of the old hatred. The old hatred. And so when I look at these three verses, I see that God is not just interested in dealing with his covenant people, the Jewish people, but this is specifically in dealing with the Philistines. The Philistines were, you know, that's the enemy that Saul battled and David battled. They were still around even at the time of Ezekiel. God is interested in dealing with people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. He wants everybody. He wants the Gentiles on Palm Sunday. I was preaching, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." For all nations. God wants people from everywhere acknowledging his lordship and acknowledging his sovereignty, his goodness. And so I want to start by dealing with what was going on in the Philistines' heart. There was somebody who had done something to them at some point in time, and it caused hatred to arise in the Philistines. Okay? Now, I'm sure that everybody who is listening to the sound of my voice, at some point in time, somebody has done something to you, and your carnal nature rose up, and you said, "I hate them. I hate them." Okay? That can be an episode, but that is not intended to be our lifestyle. And so the Philistines, when that happened, it said that it was not just an episode, but it describes that the hatred that they had was an old hatred. You know, I think to what the psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. And I can tell you that from looking at pictures and looking at some of the things that I used to be able to do that my body now groans and moans at, that I can tell you that there are some things about me that used to be young and now they're old. But one thing that those are things that we may not be able to control. I cannot control my biological, chronological clock. I can control how I respond to people. Jesus said that when people were lashing out against you and I, that we were supposed to have an attitude of blessing them. And you say, "How in the world can I bless my enemy?" Well, in the book of Acts, it describes that the first blessing that God wants to pour out on people is the blessing of repentance and turning their hearts away from sin and turning them to him. So I can pray, "God bless this person. God bless that." Whether they've treated me well or whether they haven't, I can say, "God bless them," because I want them to repent of their sin. And so what had happened with the Philistines is that episode of hatred became a day of hatred, then it became a week of hatred, then it became a month of hatred, then it became a year, then it became decades of hatred. And so it is described here as an old hatred. Hatred never gets more beautiful. It only gets more ugly. It only grows uglier. That's the reality. And the person that hatred affects the most is the person who's carrying that old hatred. And, you know, there have been times when people have told me things and it's like, you know, I don't even remember that day. I don't remember that event at all. And they're, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm talking about my wife here, but I'm not talking about a hatred experience. I'm talking about she can remember things that took place 30 years ago. She can remember what this person was wearing, what that person was wearing. You know, something about that event just was cemented in her mind. And so she's got like a photographic memory of that event. And it's like, we went to dinner with them, you know, I don't even remember their, in fact, we had this discussion the other day. I got a phone call from an evangelist that was driving through. He was actually listening to the radio broadcast as they were traveling. And he said, whenever we're traveling through a town, we put on the Christian radio station. If we hear a pastor in the area, we call them and ask them to pray for us. And so it was rebroadcasting of an evening. Turns out he and my wife actually had gone to college together. He had attended the church of the person who performed our marriage ceremony. And we were just, you know, I remember what he looks like. I could tell you what his first name was, but I couldn't have told you what his last name was for anything. And I guarantee you that my wife and I have not mentioned that man's name since the first week after we got married. And I said, do you remember the guy who married us? And she spouted off his first name and his last name, just bam, just instantly. And I was like, how do you remember that guy's name? And she's like, well, he's the guy who married us. And so, you know, it was a wonderful event. And so she's got that blessed event, that very happy day. She's got that. And she remembers all of the details about that. Well, some people can take that same mindset and they can deal with the negative or the horrible things that have happened in life, and they create a very intense mental image of every spiteful act that had taken place against them. Now, here's the dangerous thing, is sometimes perception and reality are two different things. Sometimes we have flawed perception and we think that somebody has done something to us that they may not have done. You know, sometimes I'm talking to my parents and I remember some things that happened when we were kids. And so we'll start talking about those events and they will say, well, that didn't happen like you remember it. And then there are other times when, you know, I'll be talking to them and they'll be saying things like, wait a minute, that's not the way that happened. Our memories are tied to our emotions a lot of times, and our emotions can skewer our perceptions. And then what happens is people develop the mindset that because they have perceived something, that is reality. That's where the saying comes from, perception is reality. But a lot of times, people see things that really are not accurate portrayals of what took place. So the Philistines allowed a hatred to become an old hatred, and then it became, it got down into their heart. It said that they had a spiteful heart. You see, whatever happens to us, we control the gateway to our heart. That's why things can happen to different people and they respond differently to the very same stimulus. You and I control the gateway to our heart. Guys, I will tell you this. Ladies emotionally feel things much deeper than what we do. It is just a reality. They are more sensitive. And so if you say something, they may receive that, you know, seven layers deeper, you know, than what we do. So choosing our words that we express to the love of our life, we need to be very, very careful with our words and make sure that the words that we are saying minister love and edification to them. And so we have the key to the door of our heart. And what the Philistines did was they allowed their heart, that vicious event that had taken place, they allowed hatred to develop. They allowed it to mature and to age and become old and more ugly. And then it got down into their heart. And when it got down into their heart, then all of a sudden it became an attitude of spite that prompted their actions. And it says that because of the spiteful heart, they took vengeance. Now, I greatly encourage you to do a study in the scriptures, and you will see that vengeance does not belong to you. Vengeance belongs to God. And anytime we try and touch things that God says belong to him, anytime we try and appropriate those things by our own means, if we try and do things out of our own flesh, it is going to backfire and there is going to be death. Whenever they touched the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, people died. In fact, when the Ark came back from the Philistines, one of the craziest pictures that I have in my mind of things that happened in the scriptures, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. They took it and people started breaking out with tumors in that city. And so they sent it on to another city. They sent it on five cities. Every city they sent it to, tumors would break out. And they said, What do we do to this thing? They put it in the temple of their god, Dagon. And when it was in there, they came out the next morning and Dagon was fallen prostrate, worshiping the Ark of the Covenant, which reflected the presence of God Almighty. And the next, so they set him back up. Listen, if you have to reposition your god back in place, you need a bigger god. And so the next morning they came in and Dagon had fallen again. And there he was with his hands broken off. And he was never the same after that. I'm telling you that God is the sovereign God. There is no god like our God. So they decide to send the ark back to the Israelites. And when it arrives, they had it being hauled by a mother calf and a cow. And a mother, actually, I believe it was two mother calves, and they hauled the Ark of the Covenant. So when it comes to this town, people start looking inside the Ark of the Covenant, and the first person dies, and the second person dies, and it ends up being huge numbers of people. I can just see this pile of dead bodies. What is it that is in there that is killing those people? And every one of them kept making the same mistake. They took vengeance. I'm telling you, whenever we act to avenge ourselves or get revenge on somebody who's despitefully treated us, the result is going to be death. Vengeance belongs to God. It says he will repay. He will repay. It talks in the Word about a society that is drunk on the blood of the saints. I'm telling you, God is not going to overlook that sort of stuff, but he does want to minister to people in an attitude where they can eventually come to grace and where he can forgive them. And so it says they took vengeance with a spiteful heart, and their purpose was destruction. Hatred, old hatred, will cause you to want to destroy your enemy. It will cause you to want to destroy them. Now, listen to what God says in response to that. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Carathites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. I will execute vengeance on them with furious rebukes. Now, I have learned a long time ago, I do not like to be rebuked. I don't. In fact, when I was growing up, if something happened and I got corrected, I wanted to learn from that the first time so that I didn't have to experience that again. If it was my mother, it didn't take too many times to realize that I wanted to make sure my mother didn't get upset at me, because not only would I get in trouble from her, but when my father got home, I got in trouble from him. And I decided I didn't like going through that. So God said, because the Philistines held this old hatred, this ancient hatred, or this old hatred, and because they dealt with a vengeful, spiteful heart, and they sought to destroy that person that they hated, that God said, now I am going to stretch out my hand against you. Listen, the reality is this, that the things that I have committed against God are far worse than anything anyone else has ever done for me. When, you know, we're not even a week away from Good Friday yet. It's not that far away in the rearview mirror. It was my sin that sent Jesus to the cross. It was your sin that sent Jesus to the cross. He paid the price for our forgiveness, okay? And so today, I just want to ask you to look into your heart and make sure that God is not dealing with you about something that is aging on the inside of you and it's having detrimental effects upon your heart. Whether that is a bad work experience, whether it's a bad marital experience that you had, or a bad domestic experience when you were growing up or when you were a parent, or, you know, because this happened with the police or whatever. Don't allow that to seep into your heart and cause your heart to become filled with hate. Not just hate, old hate that will cause you to lash out. Because when you do that, God says that he is going to be forced to stretch out his hand, because he is looking for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what's going to take place in heaven. Listen, Baptist, Pentecostals, Charismatics, independence, you name it. Blood-bought, redeemed saints of God from every denomination that believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross, saved them of their sins, and they have confessed his lordship, all of us are going to be gathered around the throne of God. It's not going to be, okay, you Assemblies of God folks, here's your neighborhood, Church of God, you're over here, Baptist, you're back there. That's craziness. That's not going to be the way that heaven is. We're going to be gathered around the throne of God, and we are going to be worshiping him in great unison. You know what? I believe that because of this passage here, that there are even going to be Philistines who have named the name of Jesus that are going to be in the presence of God. You say, how can you say that? Where in the world do you ever see evidence of that? Are you ready? Okay, in verse number 17, I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes. By the way, when God rebukes you, it's not a perception problem. It is a very accurate, well-deserved rebuke. He rebuked the disciples because of their unbelief. One of my favorite passages of scripture, it happens in the Old Testament, happens in the New Testament. And that is whenever Satan is fighting the plans of God, the angel says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And when the Lord rebukes you, you are rebuked. So I don't want to be rebuked of the Lord. So, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. And here you see the long-suffering nature of God. He was going to deal with the Philistines in a manner that would compel them to know, not with a head knowledge, but that they would have a personal awareness and appreciation that God was the Lord. The truth of the matter is whenever you and I allow a hatred to become an old hatred, whenever we allow it to seep into our heart, whenever we allow it to then prompt our actions where we are not seeking to bless another person, but we are actually seeking to destroy them, then what we have done is we have positioned ourselves as an enemy of God, where instead of God saying, okay, I am for you, not against you, now he is standing and saying, I can't let you move any further until we deal with this heart hatred that you have going on. So, and again, the purpose was to bring people to an awareness that Jesus Christ is Lord. If I can, let me tell you, when you read the book of Ezekiel, if you know, a lot of people, that's not one of their favorite books to read, but I challenge you, read through the book of Ezekiel, and when you do, kind of highlight, take note of all of the times that it says something like this, then you shall know that I am God, that then you shall know that I am the Lord. And you will see that what God does with humanity is he deals with each of us with one purpose in mind. He wants us to know him. God wants you to know him, not with a head knowledge, but with an intimacy, a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Old Testament, New Testament, it's the same. God wants people knowing him and acting in a manner that reflects that they know him. So let me ask you today to examine your heart. Pray this prayer. God, search my heart. See if there be any unclean thing in me. And if there is, get it out. Wouldn't you want, if you went to the doctor today and they said, you know what, you've got a spot on your lung, and if you will allow me, we can take care of it today, and it will never affect you again. If you don't, if you leave it in there, it'll kill you. Today, you have the opportunity to deal with this once and for all. Wouldn't you choose to take care of that right then and there? That's what we have an opportunity to do today. Do not allow hatred to reside in your heart. God says it's impossible for you to say that you love me when you hate your brother. And today, let's make sure that that old hatred becomes dead hatred and God replaces it with his agape, unconditional love. Father, for those who are listening right now, I pray, God, for any wounds that they may have experienced in the past. God, I pray that instead of harboring that and allowing it to age and grow more intense and more ugly inside of them, God, I pray today that we would cast that care upon you. Lord, that we would release that person, we would release that event to you, God. Today, I pray for every person who's wounded me, God, I pray that you would bless them. Bless them with salvation, bless them with the gift of repentance, bless them in their life. And God, we'll give you the glory for it all. God, may every person listening today know you as Lord. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com.
And I'm going to sneak in here for the last minute or two of this program, and the time is 8:59. We'll be going to Love Worth Finding here in a moment. In the meantime, we want to thank the good people at Travel by Jenny for renewing their corporate sponsorship of the radio ministries of WMIE. We are now up to $19,420. Praise God. Having a wonderful time here. We've raised a lot of money here by Wednesday, 9 a.m. We have a remaining balance now of only $10,580. That's where we stand. We are about to go to Adrian Rogers now, coming up. 632-1000 is the phone number. $19,420 is where we're at. If you'd like to help us raise up any portion of this $10,580, why don't you give me a call here on this Wednesday morning. Uh-oh, that's trouble.